Hello, this is the Moonifest Destiny podcast, number 10. Moonifest Destiny is a novel by me, Peter Gelman, subtitled The Rough and Ready Balloon Invasion of the Lunar Peninsula of Texas. This novel is available for Kindle for 99 cents with illustrations. In this episode, I will read Chapter 9. So if this is the first one you've heard, I suggest you go back and listen to number 1. Thanks. Chapter 9. The Metal Man points out his niceties of manufacture. The women held their own independent hierarchy of command over the fort. It was determined not exactly by loyalty or law, as determined the military command, but something very much the same when put in plain terms, which I shall call carrot and stick. We had to obey old Zack and Major Brown because they were our commanders, but in truth we obeyed them because we loved them. Other men, such as Sergeant Mallory, we didn't obey so conscientiously. We just jumped when they were watching us because we feared them, and sulked lazily when they were not because we hated them for making us afraid. But the women's carrot was feminine kindness and comeliness, a kind of higher inspiration for which soldiers on the frontier thirsted more than water. However, the kindness and comeliness of civilization would not survive our rough and tumble camps more than 5 minutes. It was impossible, even for the bellest of the bells, to survive the sunny camp stool without freckling or perspiring. Therefore, it was that particular species of kindness and comeliness that, unlike Rouge and L'eau de Paris, not only survived the rough and tumble rigors of the frontier camp, it thrived. That brave vivaciousness of which Sarah Borginis was queen. After watching the two women arguing over the position of the ladies' tents, and watching all the women turn from slow, silent obedience to Mrs. Miles to cheerful bustling about Sarah, I set myself down with my second-to-last pint of whiskey and pondered this. Pretty soon my bottle was empty, and I figured everything in terms of carrot and stick regarding human nature. Not only military life, but also Republican and despotic government, breaking horses, and training dogs, and domesticating children, and even the disturbing radicalism that wage labor was more productive than Negro servitude. Now how could that be, I wondered. How could the carrot be mightier than the stick? Drawing in the dirt with just such a stick, I thought myself a regular Professor Morse when I figured that the arc of the stick makes a geometric curve of decreasing volume while the hunger for the carrot stays steady, an arithmetic horizontal slope. While I got less afraid of Sergeant Mallory, my love for ogling ankles stayed steady as she goes. Notwithstanding that I loved Sarah and took her for my wife, camp wife, I would measure carrot against stick. Thus, the stick, Mrs. Miles, commanded our duty, a drooping, whip-crack geometric line on a Cartesian graph, while the carrot, Sarah, inspired our love, a steady-as-she-goes arithmetic line, so that while we might obey Mrs. Miles faster, we would obey Sarah longer and harder. And one might further conclude when measuring the further abuse of the stick, it might actually dip below the line of zero into the negative, which meant disobedience, like taxes and other tyrannies that led to the rebellion of 1776. At any rate, she was the female counterpart to Major Brown, and she led the delegation of chief women, Mrs. Martha Miles, Mrs. Hampton, and Mrs. Forrest, from the ladies' tents, Sarah giving a doughboy back his half-darned trousers, Martha setting her wash bucket in the arms of a frightened music, to inspect this Johnny-come-lately, this Prince President Franklin stove, this alleged Martian spy and monarch's toady, to ponder and to judge whether or not this stranger, metal or not, was fit company for their boys. But, tick, 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 ick, ick. I am not a prince, insisted the benign-faced automaton, with little breaths of steam and snorts of coke smoke. I am a prince president, tick, tick, tick. It is not a hereditary title. It is scientific nomenclature. Tick, I am an American automaton, a prince of the artificial aristocracy of machinery. Tick, tick, I have 8 lectures, he added, somewhat strangely. His reasonings seemed kind of crooked to me. Moreover, let me add that he hissed and tick-ticked a tiresome amount, the gears of his brain so much more noisy than our own. Therefore, I will from now on mark his sentences with the 4 friendly pips of a poker deck, like this, club, diamond, heart, spade, for tick, 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 to remind you that his speech seems so steam-piped artificial. You have 8 lectures? Repeated Captain Sewell. He glanced at Captain Miles Toddy. Do I? Asked the stranger, clicking and thinking. I do, tick. This is my lecture program, tick, as follows. 1. My metal nature and its niceties. 2. The rationale of the irrational. 3. The death of Joseph Smith, a tragic comedy in 5 acts, alternating with 4. The death of Elijah Lovejoy, deferring to local prej tick preferences. Also, who am I? A conundrum. 6. The sassafras and coconut song. 7. The devil and Daniel Shays, a ditty fit for drinking. That's them, he bowed. Hold on thar, sir, objected Sarah, walking over with skirt hem in hand. I ain't no Yankee scholar, but I know I heard you say 8 lectures that you got, and you only said 7 of them. To this we all nodded. Perhaps he does not wish us to know the 8th. Perhaps it is oratory of an unchristian sort, suggested Captain Miles dryly, looking sideways over his toddy at his wife, about to suggest she should take her leave, when he happened to see Captain Sewell, who was still eyeing his toddy. Seeing this, he whispered hissingly to Old Sock, "Where's your manners? Hot toddy for Captain Sewell. Mind you, Socrates, don't tarry." "Yes, perhaps the 8th is an invitation by great Deimos to sell information? I don't trust this gentleman," suggested Mrs. Miles, with a sideways glance at her husband. Tick. The 8th lecture was your destiny, ready, eggs, temporaneously for the asking, but I have found it unpopular. The 8th lecture now is, tick, 8. Whence freedom, Tycho Brahe and Andrew Jackson compared. Would you like to hear a lecture now? I have 8. The ever-benign porcelain pumpkin head emitted in friendly little steam puffs. Why don't you just tell us who you are, said Captain Sewell, with furious cigar puff, puff, puffs. No conundrums, either. Tick. Number 1, then, smiled the ever-smiling porcelain cheeks. My metal nature and its niceties. Tick. Something in the machinery of his oversized head ticked thoughtfully for a moment, like an orator taking a long breath, or like a spring being tightly wound. Then he began, "Regarding my metal form, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you not to underestimate the grace and subtle workmanship of its coordinate parts, which mimic in superior majesty the movements of your own bones. Tick. Note my ceramic face, which will never bear a blemish. Note the steel-wool mustache, which never, never needs a trim, and filters my escape pipes. Note the individually jointed appendages," he demonstrated by snapping his fingers, "which coordinate with clockwork precision the gentle felt pads of my fingertips, which never callous, ever soft enough to press upon a maiden's cheek. Would I woo you, sweet ladies, would you not swoon? Tick. Need I demonstrate the confounding lightness of my step, so finely wrought the metal skin of my frame? I can trace the step of a minuet, so practical and economical, my little boiler belly digests diverse fuel. Tick. Any kind of corporeal corruption tastes like kippers and tea to me. For the organic which originates in original sin must combust in hellfire heat,